The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Join me in prayer, please. May the words of my lips, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O holy God. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace to you, mutual love to you, beloved of Christ Jesus. It's a passage from Hebrews that Lyle read that has caught me this week. Let mutual love continue. And then it goes on to talk about hospitality and about entertaining angels. Soon we'll head outside to practice some mutual love, to entertain some angels, to share some pizza and music and conversation as we welcome students back into the neighborhood. It's move-in weekend. Classes start on Tuesday. Anticipation is high among students and many of you as well. Anxiety is real, and that's just on campus. On the cusp of fall, our hearts are full. And in all that, I am most curious about what mutual love looks like. What mutual love looks like to you right now, this morning. Not just love, one-sided as it can sometimes be, unaware of the powers at play, but mutual love. Love that cares for and serves the other. Love in which one is cared for and served mutually. What does mutual love look like? Our first indicator comes in the gospel. I prayed around all in fun with mixing things up a little bit today, a la Jesus. I was imagining this side of the church, right? And tapping some folks on the shoulder and giving that little gesture, hey, let's move back a couple pews. I'm just having fun. Eric has a serious look on his face. I am just having fun. And then we'd go to those coveted back pews. I can see you back there. Those pews are always full, always full. Have you noticed that? And I'd invite some of those back pew people to come up, and not just a little bit, to come way up to the very, very front. Why not? And it would be awkward, no doubt, for everyone. But Jesus, he said something about this today, didn't he? Those who exalt themselves are humbled, and those who humble themselves are exalted. Did you hear that? This is Jesus' take, I would say, on mutual love. Many of us grew up with humility etched into our psyches. Don't make too much of yourselves. Anybody hear that before? Don't make too much of yourselves. And at once, I hope you also heard, don't think less of yourself. Don't think less of yourself. It's a tension, isn't it? And Jesus knows that tension well. The Pharisees are watching him, and they're watching closely, and it turns out Jesus is watching them, envisioning a radical new community, a community of mutual love. If you are the guest, he kind of gets this from Proverbs, doesn't he? Probably have Proverbs on his ear. Jesus takes that ancient wisdom from Proverbs and spins it in a new way. He says, if you are the guest, don't rush in elbowing, vying for the good seats. Don't do that, he says, for you might be asked to take a lower seat. And if you are the host, don't invite people for the sake of status, so they're beholden to return the favor. But here it comes. This comes at the end, but it's really important. Thank you, Jesus. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind. Then you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. This is radical stuff. In Jesus' culture, in our transactional culture, this is absolutely countercultural. Consciously or not, we know the temptation of transaction. It's our default. It's on the lips of our nation's leaders. Help us and we'll help you. Oh, you haven't helped us. We're not going to help you. We've heard that before, haven't we? But Jesus says, no, living faith is not transactional. For in the transaction, the field is never level. The poor can never get ahead. No, living faith is about mutual love. That's Jesus' new subversive way. That's our way, mutual love. Jesus reorders the pecking order. Jesus equalizes it, inviting everyone to the water, feeding everyone at the table, full of grace, full of mutual grace and mutual love. Let mutual love continue. Hebrews 13 begins. So what does this mutual love look like, you might be wondering? Once I began to ask that question this week, I witnessed it over and over again everywhere I went in all the conversations. I hope you get it like a little bit of an earworm like I have this last week. It's everywhere. And I noticed it especially in our family life with my spouse and with our 5-year-old and with our 10-year-old. As we ate lentil stew and biscuits for supper, how we shared or didn't share the honey. Mutual love going on right there. And how we listened or didn't listen to the wishes and the words of another. Mutual love. It's in there. With mutual love, we each have enough. We don't have to worry that we're going to be slighted because the other is watching out for you, cares about you, wants the best for you. So as housemates and roommates get to know one another in these first weeks of school, what will mutual love look like? And with people who care, you care for the most, what will mutual love be like? And in situations where privilege and power isn't equal, then what does mutual love look like, act like? And with those with whom you differ on values or beliefs or whatever, when we dare go to that place, what then does mutual love look like? Ponder that for the week. Get it in your head. Mutual love, what does it look like? Watch for it. Practice it. Let mutual love continue. And then Hebrews goes on, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. The word angel really means a messenger of God. So I want to push back. I'm not content with maybe entertaining angels, but I believe we are entertaining angels in pretty much every interaction, if we're thinking simply of messengers. And this opens a world of opportunity as we go outside of after worship today. How will we engage our neighbors? How will we engage one another mutually, recognizing that we're all in our own ways messengers of God, meeting people where they are at? That's the kind of countercultural, even subversive community that Jesus is trying to create in our gospel when he, gently or not so gently, moves people around in that parable. That's what we're about today. That's what we're about really every day. So friends in Christ, I invite you this week to wonder with me about mutual love. Watch for it, practice it, notice what mutual love feels like and acts like, and how God's grace can shift us when our love and our relationships aren't so mutual, and they won't always be, but maybe that grace is what God does to shift us into mutual love. I've seen your mutual love for Rebecca and Alden Tetley in these last weeks, and they have felt your love as well. And I'll share an update at the end of the service. I'll also tell you about another family in need of our mutual love. As we close today, we take time to remember one from our community who died back in mid-August, Marjorie Haddad. She was a member of Hope for, around 15 years. She was 87 years old when she passed away. Some years back, Marjorie moved down to Northfield to live in a retirement community that was closer to her daughter and her daughter-in-law and her two grandchildren. Marjorie's memorial service will be on September 15th in Northfield at that retirement community, and we hold her family and community in our prayers. These last days, what I've enjoyed the most is hearing stories about Marjorie, about her life. She grew up in North Dakota and was a missionary teacher in Africa. Later, she served for the bulk of her life as a librarian at the United Nations in New York City. And it's while she lived in New York City that she met her husband, a Palestinian man. She came to Minneapolis in retirement and found hope after volunteering at a Pride Fest booth next to one of you who was also volunteering. She was active in a Hope Connections small group in Northeast Minneapolis. Facing plenty of health concerns over the year, Marjorie lived with this deep, deep sense of gratitude and of faithfulness. People describe Marjorie with words like gentle and intelligent, well-read, hospitable, for she loved to host people. And when I asked one of you about her, your face lit up immediately, and you said, "She had a lovely spirit." Wow. When members of this congregation die, remember how the same waters that first washed over them in baptism hold them now in death. So we pray today at the baptismal font, at these waters of promise, remembering, linking ourselves to God's powerful waters of promise. Let us pray. Holy God, holy and powerful, remember before you today our sister Marjorie Haddad. We thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. At these waters of baptism, you welcomed her into your love. At these waters, you comforted her in times of trouble and encouraged her in delight. At these waters, you now enfold her into Jesus' death and resurrection and the promise of life everlasting. Console us, O God. Console us who mourn and bring us together to feast with all the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.